It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In this first half, we're focusing on the Ebola outbreak. Yesterday, President Obama authorized the Pentagon to call up military reservists to help fight the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. About 540 U.S. active troops are already posted in the West African country. They're helping the Liberian government, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and other agencies fight the outbreak. Now, President Obama's latest order would permit the Pentagon to call up National Guard troops or military reservists to join the effort. The Pentagon says that could be as many as 4,000 or more American troops in addition to what's already there. What is their mission? They're helping to build and support Ebola treatment units, run mobile testing labs, and train healthcare workers. This in an all-out effort to contain the deadly virus. Joining me now, Kayla Cassavant via Skype from the capital of Liberia, from Monrovia. Kayla, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Ben.
Hello, Kayla. Nice to talk with you again. The last time we spoke was in late August. To remind our listeners, you're a research associate with a nonprofit called Building Markets in Monrovia, working in the economic sector. It's been weeks since we spoke. I just read a New York Times article from yesterday, a reporter in Monrovia, where you are. The article has the headline, Ebola Nightmare, the entire city is covered with bodies. Describe the part of the city where you live and work. Is it that bad?
The part of the city that I work in, honestly, I don't see any dead bodies. I think, you know, there are probably some areas where it seems like that, but even in the past couple weeks, it seems like it's gotten better, that you hear less about, you know, I never saw it for myself, but on the radio sometimes you hear about an ambulance coming here or a dead body in the road, but I never actually saw it for myself. And where I am is really in the center of the city. So I guess you wouldn't expect to see so much of that happening here.
Why not? I would expect it to be in the center of the city. When we have reports of hundreds of new cases of Ebola, we have two cases total here in the U.S. so far. The article says hundreds of new cases of Ebola are being reported in the capital, Monrovia, where you are each week, but you don't see much evidence of that.
No, well, Monrovia is the capital of about a million people. So when you think about it, a few hundred really isn't that much for a million people. Sometimes you see ambulances going by that you assume they're going to get a dead body from a house or something. But other than that, I haven't seen anything.
What other impacts, what are other things are you noticing as the outbreak continues there in Liberia?
The past few weeks, things have actually stabilized a little bit. You see people starting to go back about some of the normal activities, going to the market, going to business. But you also see a lot of people staying home. Most people, if they don't have to go somewhere, then they won't. They'll stay home all day. And less people going to restaurants or going out in the evening. So it's pretty quiet around here. And we still have the curfew at 11 o'clock at night. So things get quiet around 9 o'clock. You don't see much activity. Other than that, I mean, I think the biggest change is just the mood of the population. When you talk to people, it's always on their mind. Most people know of someone, either if it's their family or related to them somehow, that has died or been diagnosed with Ebola. So you can tell just people are on edge, and they're just taking the precautions and praying that this ends soon.
The precautions that we spoke about earlier, washing your hands with a bleach mixture before when you go out in public to go into buildings and so forth?
Right. Yep, that's one of the precautions. Everyone's washing their hands. Also, you know, a custom in Liberia is to shake hands. And now, I mean, people kind of joke about it, that this Ebola is really completely stopped that part of their culture, because no one will shake hands anymore. You know, they just wave to each other or something. But some people will get really angry if you even start to reach your hand out towards them. So people take it very seriously.
Do people keep their distance more? You stay out of people's personal space?
Yes. One big change that they made was with the taxis. which I think is really great, because before they were having very crowded taxis and you have four people crowded in the back seat every time, and now they limit it to three people, so at least people aren't so crowded together. They're still saying that taxis are, you know, one of the risks for transmission because they aren't disinfected and so many people pass through them. But at least, you know, people try to keep their distance now.
Talking with Iowan Kayla Cassavant via Skype from Monrovia, the capital of Liberia in West Africa, if you've just joined us. Kayla, can you tell if the outbreak has slowed or since this international response began? Evidence of it in Monrovia, where you are?
Well, in Liberia, the reports that they're giving, the number of cases has actually gone down per week, though a lot of people think that that's not really an accurate representation, that, you know, there are a lot of cases still not being reported and such. But it's really hard to say whether it's gone down or not. I would say it's been pretty much on the same level, but at least it doesn't seem to have gotten a lot worse. I think the arrival of the new treatment centers that are coming now will help a lot with that as well.
Now, you're a research associate with Building Markets, this nonprofit that's in the economic sector in Liberia. Are you working at all with the helping to build these treatment centers? Any involvement there of your organization?
No, our involvement is primarily to assess the situation. So we already have a network of businesses who we've had a relationship with for the past 3 years, about 3,300 businesses in our network throughout Liberia. And we were approached by a few different organizations to start calling these businesses on a regular basis and asking questions about food prices and about their businesses, what impact Ebola has had on them. And also, just in general, some questions about their mood and how things have changed. So what we're doing is mostly to provide information for other organizations that are determining what action to take.
So what has been the impact there, the economic impact in Liberia, in Monrovia? It must be huge.
It's not as huge. From the numbers we're seeing so far, it's not as huge as you might think. For starters, a lot of businesses here, you know, we're looking at businesses that employ between 5 and 100 people, so mostly small businesses. And even before the Ebola crisis, there are a lot of constraints to doing business. It's very difficult here. So now what you're seeing is, you know, roughly maybe 10% of businesses have closed down, at least to see what will happen. So they say that, you know, we're closing for now and we'll see what happens. We'll try to reopen. But a lot of them are saying that they don't have customers. Like I said, a lot of people are staying home. So I think just less people are spending money on frivolous things, and that's affecting business and the economy. Employment has gone down quite a bit. So that's sort of the first thing to go. If businesses aren't going to close, then they'll first release some of their employees and try to stay open as long as possible. So there are a lot of people without jobs right now.
What is the attitude, Kayla, toward the international help, also toward the Liberian government in terms of the response to this outbreak?
People are pretty critical of the Liberian government, but that's normal also. They're always pretty critical. I would say they just say that they aren't doing enough, nothing too specific. And then for the international response, I'd say people are welcoming it. They are curious to know what exactly is going to happen, you know, especially with the military that were coming. I heard a lot of people asking questions like, why are there military coming? What does this mean? So getting information out as to what these different organizations are really doing is important.
Kayla Cassavant, what about your personal safety? In a city where we're hearing reports of hundreds of new Ebola cases diagnosed every week, how concerned are you about your own safety?
I'm concerned, of course. I take precautions every day. I've really limited my activities. I mostly just go to work and go home. At work, I restrict contact with my staff members.
Restrict how, the contact?
I don't shake hands. You know, just keeping your distance. you weren't really at risk unless you're touching other people. So, you know, it's not like I'm keeping 10 feet away from everyone, but, you know, just being careful not to touch anyone.
I guess a natural question to ask, your efforts there, it's certainly admirable to help the Liberian people, but you are an American and you could leave any time. A question on my mind is, as I assume many listeners, why are you still there?
A lot of people have asked me that as well, including my family. And I think it's a very different story when you're here than when you're looking at the news. And I'm not saying that what the news is saying is not correct, but it has a way of showing the truth in a way that, you know, it looks scarier than it is. And really, if I felt in danger so much that I needed to leave, I would. There's no one keeping me here forcing me to stay. But I choose to stay because my job is important to me, and I don't feel like the risk is so much that I need to leave.
All right, Kayla, tell us, what are your future plans?
I'm planning to come back to the U.S., hopefully soon around Christmas time, spend Christmas with my family. And after that, I don't really have any plans yet.
Kayla Cassavant, be safe. We wish you all the best, and keep up with your important work there, Kayla. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Ben.
Coming up in just a moment, an Ankeny police officer's unusual line of questioning for a motorist he pulled over turns into a viral video. And we ask, what are the do's and don'ts when you're pulled over by the police? I'll talk with Randall Wilson of the ACLU of Iowa. Then we'll be joined by ISU climatologist Elwin Taylor and ask how much all that rain earlier this week delayed the harvest. Also ask him, take a stab at a longer range weather forecast. We'll be back in just a minute. River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.